Meet Roger. He's commuting home from work.
I'm stuck on 290. I'm being sustained by Takis and cream soda.
Luckily, Roger saved money on a whole stash of car snacks he got on rollback at Walmart.
Still stuck on 290. Tell Marjorie I won't be home for dinner, and I love her. I just hope our relationship lasts as long as construction on 290.
There are new rollbacks all the time, like that jerky Roger is enjoying. Save more on what Houston needs most, like surviving 290. Welcome to your Walmart.
This is the Voice of America, Washington, D.C., signing on.
When the Santa's hell.
And back in the saddle, in here, we are live. Radio Contra is on the air. And man, do we have a lot to talk about today. We are literally retreading the same ground over and over and over again. But I'm going to give y'all today the big picture. On this, I'm going to give what I think at least is the 10,000 foot view of the bigger picture that's going on here. I've had a lot of conversations, been a lot of moving pieces in my world behind the scenes, and we're going to be diving into a little bit, talking about that, giving a little bit of context. But first and foremost, I do want to break some sad news. Most of you in the audience are probably aware of this by now, but in case you're not, I just want to give a shout out to Paul Harrell real quick. Paul Harrell, famous guy on YouTube. Over the years, you know, everybody that's had Fighting Carbine with me, either Fighting Carbine, Fighting Kalashnikov, you know, it's always come up in conversation because that's how, you know, how most people get their information or their daily content or they're entertained is by YouTube, right? I mean, for good or bad, it just is what it is, and that is how we get our content. And so a lot of people will ask me routinely, you know, what I watch or, you know, who I like or whatever. And you know, my answer has always been the same over the years. I don't have a lot of free time in my personal life. Here lately, I haven't had a lot of time to even get done the things that I need to get done. You know, like podcasting. It's why some of it has dropped off. But, and you know, things are going to slow down, but the run up to the election, it's you know, getting the store underway has been a Herculean effort and has occupied a lot of my time. But I don't have a lot of time in my day to dedicate to either things that I already know or people that I really don't value their opinion anyway. It just isn't really, to me, it's I'm not going to waste my time, okay? I'm not going to waste my time. And I see it for what it is. I don't get involved in the cult of personality behind certain people that they try and foster, you know, and I highly implore people to not do that with me either. I mean, you know, let's not do that. You know, no man should be on a pedestal but the Lord Jesus himself. You know, don't put any man on a pedestal. You know, we're told that biblically. But, you know, that being what it is, human nature does this, tends to do this. So, anyway, where I'm going with all that, and what that has to do with Paul and everything in the big picture, just giving people context here, I don't consume a lot of YouTube. I unless it's something technical that, you know, I need reference material for how to do something, usually that has to do with mechanical things. You know, repairing something, it's fine for all of that. But when it comes to just like the gun media and the entertainment end of the gun media, there's nothing new under the sun. And I'm just not, I'm not going to waste my time getting caught up with some of these people. That end, you know, the other end of things is I just see it for what it is. If I'm not going to learn anything, if I don't think that this person in question has anything to bring to the table, I'm sorry. I just can't, you know, and that's not throwing, you know, any salt at anybody in particular. It's just the reality. I just don't have time to do it. But, you know, that being said, I would frequently get that question of, you know, Who in the gun media, what gun tubers, you know, who would you pay attention to? And there's really only a couple out there that I think are solid, you know, that I'm going to actually learn something from this person. And, you know, one of them out there, there's a couple, and they're not really big on YouTube. It's mainly because they're already very important to the shooting community, to the real life shooting community. You know, the training community, the business aspects of the training community, you know, how to run classes, how, you know, people who have really left their mark. You know, one of them is Ken Hackathorn. Ken Hackathorn, I think, is a wealth of knowledge. He's an incredible human being, a very kind human being, great man in and of his own right, and a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of gunfighter knowledge. You know, so while there are some people in the contemporary media who say that he's, you know, some of the things that he's said over the years are a little dated and, you know, whatever. Okay, I mean, that's fine, but this is a man who's actually walked the walk in many ways. You know, so that's somebody I'm going to listen to versus a, you know, somebody that looks like a prepubescent child who's running around with a tricked out Glock. You know, like, I'm not going to learn shit from you, guy. So I'm going to try and glean that wisdom of the elders. And you can say that things they say might be dated or whatever, but there's a lot of knowledge to be gained from that. And so I'm going to listen to what they have to say. So Ken Hackathorn, you know, and he's not really big. He's made YouTube videos and, you know, they're very simple presentation style of drills that are highly effective in your training. You know, Kyle Lamb, I guess, would be another one. Sergeant Major Lamb would be another one that we could throw into the mix. Very, very similar, you know, but again, these are two guys who aren't really, I wouldn't say gun media, but they've made a very big impact, a very big positive impact on the shooting community. But the one other person that I would add to that is, and always have over the years, is Paul Harrell. And that's because Paul Harrell brought a very important perspective to the shooting community that I think in today's gun media, quote unquote, that I just find very tiresome, very, very tiresome. Paul brought a perspective to it that I think resonated with a lot of people, obviously, but also it was real world. You know, everything that he did was reflective of reality. You know, his presentation style, his very calm demeanor, and, you know, the fact that he was involved in two incidents of defensive firearms use on his own property. You know, you can look this up, and it's out there. I mean, Paul was able to bring a number of very relevant perspectives that resonated with me, you know. And yeah, he's combat vet. He walked the walk, but he brought all of that to the table. But what was most important to me about him, and why I really paid attention to him, and I just don't have time for many others, is the fact that he took where we were probably two generations ago in terms of gunfighting and gunfighting technology and what we knew two generations ago, and brought it, kind of filled that gap to where we are today and why we are where we are today. And I don't see too many people out there who do that in that way. You know, yesterday I was doing a lot of very much needed tractor work, working on some pasture land, getting them prepped for late fall and going into the winter. And, you know, when you spend many hours on a tractor, you think about these kinds of things. And, you know, something kept telling me, you know, Elmer Keith, pull down some of Elmer Keith's work. Because that's what, you know, with Paul, that's kind of what I keep going back to. And I kept thinking that over the years. There's very similar, you know, anybody that's familiar with Elmer Keith back in the day. And Elmer Keith really was kind of the grandfather of gun media, essentially. And wrote some really incredible work. Six Guns is a very, very important seminal piece. A lot of people would say, you know, by today's standards, this stuff is dated, and that's, you know, that's fine. And maybe it is. He's talking a lot about, you know, the development of 357 Magnum and 44 Magnum and revolvers in general and how we got here. But there was a lot of stuff about gunfighting and the psychology of gunfighting. And, you know, in today's contemporary gun media, how you have, you know, everybody's doing these, you know, burn them down drills where you're, you know, you're just doing mag dumps and, you know, some variation of that kind of, you know, failure drills and so on and so forth. And look, I get all that. And I'm not saying none of that's relevant. And I'm not saying throw the baby out with the bathwater. And I'm not saying, you know, hey, let's all be Luddites. And that's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is that it is important to look at where we came from and what brought us to today and fill that gap, because there are some things that are lost over time. There are some concepts that are lost over time. You know, case in point is the psychology of a gunfight. And what goes into the lead up to a gunfight, a defensive encounter, and that awareness that's in there. And whether Elmer Keith was cognizant of it or not, he did address this. And some of the, you know, the other, his contemporaries, Skeeter Skelton would be another one, addressed that psychology leading up to it. And the reality around certain weapons platforms, you know, if you have a six gun, for example, you know, the old school, you know, I'm looking at a reproduction Colt single action Army over here that's on the wall in 357 Magnum rather than 44-40, which was very common back then. But the way that was suggested to carry a single action revolver back in those days when you were primarily on horseback was to have five rounds loaded and the hammer down on an empty chamber, just for safety reasons. And so you've got five shots. You have six sleeves in the cylinder, but you've got five shots. So you got to make them count. When you compare that to a lot of the argument that's made today, and there's a lot of valid reasons for that, of, you know, round count and round capacity and, you know, these various drills that have evolved over time, which are great, by the way. All of them are great. It's all great training. But it's important to understand we came from one place and we have evolved to another, but there are some aspects of that that are lost over time. And it's important to take a look back at where we came from, and that way we can get an important perspective on where we are today and how we got to where we have come today. And Paul Harrell did that. He was able to do that, and he did it, I think, in a very brilliant way. It was natural for him. It came across as natural. There was nothing that was phony. There was no grifter aspect to it. He wasn't trying to sell you a line of bullshit. It was just, hey, here's what I'm doing, here's what I've got, and here's the facts. And that's that. And did it in a way that had a strong maturity to it that I think is lost in a lot of the gun, quote unquote, gun media that's just full of bad humor and, you know, guys that think they're funny but really aren't. That stuff just drives me up the wall personally. I mean, I love to laugh at stuff. Comedy is my favorite genre. But, you know, these guys that are way past the locker room days. I mean, come on, man. If you're pushing 40 years old and you're still making dick jokes, I mean, come on. Like, you know, fart jokes and just, no. It's I'm sorry. I don't have time for the juvenile stuff. But, and again, not throwing salt at anybody in particular, just saying that's not my flavor. If that's your flavor, cool. But Paul didn't bring any of that. There was a maturity to him, and he did it in probably the most professional presentation style that I think could have been done, and that's why he resonated with so many people. And what a great human being, by all accounts. Unfortunately, I never got the opportunity to meet Paul. I have interacted with several people who knew him and got to know him quite well. And by all accounts, he was just an incredible human being and a stand-up guy. So I think the world is a little bit less well off without him. I know that the shooting community certainly is. And, you know, it sucks when we lose people. You know, I seem to have lost a lot of people. This community has lost a lot of people just over in the past year and a half, and it really sucks. But we're reminded because of that we're only here for a brief moment in time. And so it is what we do in between that time. It's how we make our mark on the world and how we want to be remembered. And so for Paul, brother, you know, somebody who went and earned his CIB, went and did, and was just a great human being to a lot of people, and shared his thoughts on the world, and certainly left a very positive mark. Man, I'm telling you, it's thank you. Thank you for everything that you gave, and your YouTube channel and the content that you provided. It will serve as a very worthy epitaph and a gold mine of knowledge for a lot of up and comers. And, you know, thank you. That's all I can say. Anyhow, wanted to dive into that. Wanted to talk about that for a bit. You know, it's crazy looking at the timer here. I wasn't even paying attention to the clock, and we are almost 20 minutes in. But, you know, hey, Paul deserves it. Paul actually would deserve an entire episode. to talk about that. You know, like what I was saying with Elmer Keith and what brought us to when in Elmer's time into the 1970s, he filled that gap and, you know, of knowledge between the old West style of gunfighting and, you know, kind of into the more modern era. And Paul certainly filled that gap as well for a whole new generation. Anyway, coming in here, of course, brushbeater.store. I have a whole bunch of stuff that it is just wild how wide open it has been. It's been pretty epic on our end, and it has been occupying much of my time. But I can say that a lot of you out there are getting very, very well prepared in a short amount of time, and you know I'm honored by that. You know, so brushbeater.store, we've got a ton of stuff over there. I have been doing a lot of work with the all new Armosite Jockey 320 and 640. And these are clip-on thermals. I've made some videos. They have went up on Twitter, and I've shared them over on American Partisan as well. You know, clip-on thermals are really the most popular thing in terms of optics that I sell in the store. Clip-ons have become extremely popular, and for a lot of reasons. Their versatility, their compact size. You know, you can have your standard daytime optic and you are running a thermal now, so you have that capability. And the way that I run them contemporarily, my go-to weapon setup, and I'm going to do some longer things talking about this, because I think we're really evolving in a lot of ways, and the technology that is available to the civilian gunfighter today is just really, really incredible. You know, and I think that you really need to be taking advantage of it, strong advantage of it. But anyway, you know, I'm running a closed emitter red dot, right? So the Lucid E7, I've been extremely happy with this optic. Now, I know, like, there's a lot of others on the market. There's you know, and you know, probably some other brand names that might be higher tier, looked at least. But this thing, I have abused the crap out of it. I've dropped it. I hate to say I've dropped it. On the weapon, I'm running it on a PSA Sabre 13.7 with a mid-length gas system and a Hux Works titanium 5.56 compact. Their 5.56K can. This setup, this weapon setup, is my go-to. This is the one. This is kind of the grail rifle. It shoots so smooth. There's absolutely no recoil. It is a sub MOA weapon with 77 grain open tip match ammo. You just can't ask for better. I'm running a Designate IRV, which we will have back in stock today. They will be up. My buddy Eric over at Barrel and Hatchet has done a lot of work with this. I supplied those guys with one for test and evaluation. They have that video that's going to be going up on YouTube very soon with their results from it. They've been extremely happy. I've been extremely happy. I've been running one now for a little over a year, and I've beat the crap out of it. But I've got that on there as my infrared laser aiming module. And you have to have that with night vision. So if you're running nods on your head, which you absolutely need to, you know, but again, I've done podcasts on that in the past, and I'll be doing some more here in the near future. But you know, you have to have an IR laser for that. But these are all tools that, that are admittedly, they're very expensive. And let's say, you know, I'm working with a limited budget because a lot of people are. Okay, that is the reality. A lot of people working with limited budgets. You know, we're not all made of money. So how do you do the most with the least investment here? How are you able to accomplish the majority of your requirements with the least amount of equipment, right? And so that's kind of a question that I always have, you know, when I'm contemplating, you know, whatever the task might be, concealed carry firearms, you know, vehicle selection, how I'm implementing vehicle stuff, you know, four-wheelers, ATVs, farm equipment, literally everything. How can I maximize my capability with the least amount of investment? Because that's what a lot of people are thinking about. All right. So I think that clip-on thermals are one of the best ways to do that. That's absolutely, without a doubt, one of the best ways to do that. You know, a lot of people think, yeah, all right, your first purchase needs to be night vision. I don't necessarily disagree with that statement, but I'll give some caveats. I think that thermal technology today, where we are in 2024, is light years beyond where it was even 5 years ago. And it is getting to the point now where the resolution on some of this stuff, the level of detail we can get with the heat sensors themselves is just really, really incredible. And so we're really at a place where I think the technology behind thermal is almost on par with the level of detail you're going to get out of analog night vision. Now, there's some caveats to that statement too. I don't want to get too deep into the weeds on that, but you know, if I'm looking for the maximum capability with the minimum investment, right? This is where clip-on thermal is going to come in. So again, you know, on my weapon of choice, every AR that I run, I'm going to have a consistent rail running all the way down the handguard. I know in the competition world, you know, a lot of times the trend now is to not do that. You just have your little rail down by the muzzle, and then you have a small little bit of rail by the upper receiver. And, you know, that's it. But, you know, and that's reflective. I know there's of that competition thing. There's a lot of manufacturers out there that are turning out handguards that are geared specifically for that, and that's fine, okay? But I'm not, when I'm setting up a weapon, I'm not thinking about competition with it. I'm not, that doesn't even factor into the equation. You know.
Reservations are now open at Ocana Resort, where every moment feels like a getaway, where families laugh, friends gather, and memories are made. Welcome to Ocana, Oklahoma City's largest indoor water park and lively outdoor adventure lagoon. From poolside bites to unique swim-up sips and rooms perfect for every stay, Ocana is more than a destination. It's the vibe you've been waiting for. Book now at OconaResort.com to be among the first to stay in spring 2025.
What I'm thinking about and what I'm building a weapon for is defensive encounters and, you know, my mission requirements that I would have had overseas in either Iraq or Afghanistan applied to here, applied to home. I need that level of capability, right? And so I'm going to have a consistent rail running all the way down the top. What this allows me to do is run my enablers, all right? So enablers, IR lasers, lights, and of course, clip-on thermal or clip-on night vision, which we've got those in stock as well, both in Gen 2 and Gen 3. So you know, you're running a clip-on thermal in front of your daytime optic, whatever it is. And so my daytime optic currently on my general purpose rifle that literally does all the things is that Lucid E7. I'm really, really happy with it. I have access to literally every other type of holographic or red dot optic under the sun. And that's the one that has performed. It has exceeded expectations that I originally had for it. It has proven itself to me repeatedly. And here's the thing that I really like about it. It's blue. So instead of it being, you know, having a red dot or even a green dot, which are really popular, it's blue. That's not just a gimmick behind it. When you are running it with thermal, that contrast is actually a lot easier on the eyes. So, for example, I've been doing a lot of coyote hunting lately. So cows are starting to drop calves. Calves, you know, your calves in that first week are most vulnerable to coyote attacks. And, you know, you don't want to be losing calves. And, I mean, coyotes are really, really vicious animals, particularly where we live here. We've got a huge population of them. They are thriving. And so hunting them is not a recreational activity. It's part of necessity of predator control in order to protect my herd, right, of my livestock. So when I previously my setup would have been and is, because I still have this weapon setup, is a Night Force NX8, a low power variable optic, and running night vision on my head, set of PBS 31s, and either a Designate IRV or running PEC 15 that I have. All right. Well, the problem with that is that with a low power variable optic, I don't have enough room because, again, this is a 13.7 inch weapon that I'm running this on, because that gives you the very portable length. You know, it's doesn't have to be an SBR. When I'm running a suppressor on it, it's still a very compact weapon, but gives me a lot of capability as well. With that 77 grain open tip match, I can make hits 400 meters. I know that they're lethal on my intended targets, which is coyotes, and that works, right? It's a very effective setup for where I live. And 400 meters is a long distance. That's here, at least. That's about as far as I'm intending to shoot with the setup. So while LPVO's low power variable optic, that Night Force NX8, the 1-8, really good setup, right? Great quality glass, proven itself in combat repeatedly. You know, very, very good setup. The problem is that it's kind of become unnecessary. One of the issues is that running a clip-on thermal in front of it is a little cramped. Your clip-on is getting a little bit too close to the muzzle for comfort for me. And not only that, with the laser there, it's real tight. The setup is really, really tight. You don't want optics touching each other. You know, you you need that little bit of extra room on a rail. All right. So running a red dot too, though, like, having a big old doggone LPVO, I think last time I had Matt on from Everyday Marksman, it's been a while. I think that was like a couple of years ago. But we were talking about prismatics versus LPVOs versus red dots. And a lot of people are running red dots with magnifiers. And I'm not a fan of that at all. At all. And everybody that shot with me knows that. But those are my own reasons. If somebody has a setup like that and it works, hey, cool. It's just I don't like that. You're introducing multiple points of failure on your weapon system. But anyway, having a red dot on a weapon is you know, obviously it's reflexive, it's very fast, and you know, you're quite accurate with that setup. At least to 300 meters, most people can get pretty competent, knowing where their holdover points are going to be, their points of aim. Once they've zeroed it at 25, you know, this is all proven stuff, right? 36 yards or 25 meters. Running a clip-on thermal in front of your dot optic is compact, it's fast, and it's lightweight. I can make snapshots, right, out to 400 meters, and I've done that repeatedly. You know, when I was first testing this setup, I was really amazed at how easy it was to do that, to make this work. And here's the kicker. So, you know, running a dot optic is lightweight. It's not adding a ton of bulk. When you're running an LPVO optic up there, the big drawback behind an LPVO, one of them at least, is you're adding a lot of weight to your weapon. And, you know, I'm sorry, that matters. When you're climbing up and down hills, you know, having to drag it behind you, maybe in a drag bag or something, you know, that's... that little bit of weight, that extra weight matters, and it makes a big difference over time. So anyhow, you know, ounces become pounds, and pounds obviously become pain, as it's said, right? So running a dot optic is lightweight, very fast, and for a variety of defensive encounters that may happen between 100 meters and in, there's no question that a red dot or some type of reflexive optic is going to be much faster, significantly faster. All right. So now let's come back to the clip-on. So working with the Armasight Jockey, and specifically Jockey 320, I've got the 640 and the 320. I'm going to be blunt here. The 640 is excellent, by the way, and that's the difference between the two is the resolution. 640 resolution is going to be higher, you know, twice the level of detail, really, really good. But the heat sensor and the refresh rate is the same across both of those. I'm going to say that the 320 really punches above its weight class, and that's the one that I keep defaulting to. I'm really, really happy with it. I'm really impressed with it. And with the price point, it's excellent. Here's the other thing. You know, AGM, excellent. Big fan of AGM. I've been running their optics for a long time. Continue to do so. But Armasight has them, the Jockey at least, has them on one thing. Well, two. The first one is the interface, the user interface. So having a compass bearing and a pitch is really, really important. So if I'm coordinating with other people and I'm handing off targets to them, for example, over the Labor Day weekend, we were doing a big coyote hunt here, me and several of my buddies, and we were coordinating targets. And we were able to do that target handoff based on using the compass bearings. That's really, really doggone important, okay? AGM didn't really offer that, doesn't really offer that in, you know, the Secutor does, but the Secutor is really geared towards precision marksmanship and using it on bolt guns. And I'm really, really happy with the Secutor. By the way, that laser rangefinder module that is on that is absolutely killer. And if long range marksmanship is your game, that's the one that you want. Okay. But that Jockey having all that built in is really awesome. The other thing is that it runs on either two CR123s or it runs on an 18650 rechargeable. That level of versatility, I think, is what sets it apart. The AGM, the V2 Rattlers in all its incarnations, has a proprietary lithium ion battery. Now, I've got some of those batteries on the way. You can buy extras. They are very easy to charge. You can actually charge them inside of the optic itself using a common USB-C cable, which, you know, we all have dozens of them laying around. You got them in your truck. You know, that's common, right? So I think that's kind of a moot point. But it is something that I frequently will get questions about, people will ask about. So it is something to contemplate. It is something to think about. Now, with that said, you also have up to a 4-power, in the Armasite Jockey, you have up to a 4-power digital zoom. That's huge. And that's what I was talking about with the lack of a magnifier. I'm still running my red dot. Right, I'm still running, in the case of the Lucid E7, it's that blue dot. So I've got that in there, right? And I can digitally zoom with my optic, right, with that Armasite Jockey on a target. I don't need a magnifier, right, which is introducing another optical plane, introducing another potential error vector in terms of parallax, and could cause me a problem if one thing is misaligned and then I'm missing my shot. And I really don't want that. So going back to my original statement, what offers me the best bang for the buck for, you know, I need one device. I can't afford necessarily all the things, right? Because none of us can. What's going to offer me the maximum level of versatility? To me, a clip-on thermal definitely fits that bill, and that Armasite Jockey 320, I'm telling y'all, I am so impressed with this thing. It literally lives in the door of my truck. The 640 is good. The 640 is an excellent optic. I strongly recommend it if you got the budget for it, but the 320 is what lives in my truck. In the door, it goes, you know, if I gotta get out here, the coyotes are moving, or like whatever the situation may be that calls for using thermal, whether it's day or night, I can use it handheld to scan, and then I can put it on my weapon as need be in front of that optic. And I still have a very lightweight, very compact setup that offers me the maximum level of versatility and capability. So there you go. You know, that kind of breaks down, demystifies some of that, I hope. I get a lot of emails that are based around this, a lot of questions that people have, and that I think answers a lot of it. Now, am I saying that means, you know, hey, I buy this one thing and I'm good to go, I don't need night vision or any of the other stuff? No. Because they fill different roles, right? And I've done podcasts in the past on this. I'll be addressing it again in the near future. But they are definitely different roles. But if you want the maximum level of versatility and flexibility, you know, let's say I got the budget to buy one of the things to do the maximum amount of stuff, that thermal is going to be the way to do it. And of course, you can find all this. I've got them in stock right now from both AGM and Armasite. I've got a lot of products that are in, and some of the stuff that's out of stock right now will be in stock very soon. The Rattler V2s, the 256s, sub-$1,000 price point. People, I literally will get a batch in and they go like that. Armasite is making a revision to the mounting system with American Defense Manufacturing. They had a small hiccup in the supply chain. They're working that out, because I've got a lot of emails right now that I'm sitting on from y'all out there saying, you know, when are they going to be back in stock? That sub-$1,000 price point on the Rattler V2s from AGM that a lot of you are asking for, and hey, totally get it. A lot of bang for the buck there. A lot of capability for the dollar. But those are going to be back in stock soon. I don't have a hard date on them, but they will be back. It's just getting that manufacturing hiccup. It's a small supply issue on part of ADM, when they can get those back in stock, that's when we're going to have them. And I've got a, I think I have 30 or so on order right now. So I've got a big order. They will be in both the clip-ons and the dedicated scope version of that, of the Rattler V2. So they're going to be in stock. Anyway, man, 45 minutes trying to keep podcasts under an hour, and I could just talk all day about thermal and night vision, just like I can about radios, just like I can about a lot of things. I had so many things on the docket right now to get into, but let's just dive into it. So we've got Russia, Russia, Russia. The Russian collusion nonsense is coming back out. You know, they're playing that card again. And, you know, this was probably supposed to be the Democrats' October surprise. And here we are. So we know that the Department of Justice, completely weaponized under Merrick Garland, is now running defense for Kamala Harris. Their internal polling has to be complete trash. It has to be complete trash for them to retread, to rehash, rerun this nonsense. They have to be in absolute panic mode right now. And I think that they are. Kamala is awful. She's an awful candidate. The quite literally, every interview that she has done until now has been a total unmitigated, unbridled disaster. She is unlikable. She has a border situation that is now coming to fruition, as I've predicted repeatedly on this show, that the Venezuelans coming in, who are sponsored by the communist Chinese, this is literally gray zone warfare that is occurring. It's human wave warfare that is occurring now, and it is coming to a city near you. Just last week, we were looking at this in Aurora, Colorado, and Denver. I said that this is going to be coming to all of the urban areas. Now we literally have it in Chicago. 32 Venezuelan gang members, the Tren de Aragua gang, has taken over another apartment complex. What they're doing is they're building their urban foothold. All right, so they gain their foothold, they gain a strong point, and then they begin their offense from there. That's literally what they're doing in the urban areas. And you've got people from the black community that are calling this out. They're the ones who are pointing this out. And just like I said last week, they're the ones who are at least initially going to suffer the most from this. We're already seeing that. So short-term prediction here is that that level of violence, it hasn't even started yet. Okay, it hasn't even started yet. You think that Chicago was violent before? You ain't seen nothing yet. And just wait till those videos start dropping. All right, Telegram, all the vicious stuff with Telegram that's been coming out of Ukraine and Gaza and elsewhere, just wait till that starts inside our borders. And it will. It will. I mean, I'm telling you this. It's not that I have any sort of insider knowledge. It's just that I've seen this before. I've seen all this before. There's nothing new under the sun. You know, and this is what's going to happen. So, you know, it's pretty universally recognized. I mean, Kamala Harris, the Biden administration, they've been running the show. They've been in charge of this for a long time now. The Democrats, they've wholly owned the border crisis. It doesn't matter what they say. And in the eyes of the American people, they see this for what it is. Okay, they all see this for what it is. The general public sees it for what it is. Now, do they care? Well, that's another story. But the Department of Justice is running in full panic mode right now because they know that with another Trump administration, a lot of their entrenched bureaucrats who are responsible for this are going to get called onto the carpet. Now, what I think should happen and what will happen, obviously, are two very different things, but they're running in full panic mode. Their last card that they played, the whole Russia collusion thing, which was just ridiculous then on its face, it was exposed as a complete fraud, total lie. They're going for it again, though. And here it is. And so, Tenet Media which is the talent management agency of several notable podcasters and influencers out there. Tim Pool, Benny Johnson being a couple of them, Dave Rubin being another one. This is where I could get on my soapbox and say that I know the internal means of which this business works, and I am outside of all that. I'm very proud to say I'm outside of all that. I run a training company. I am a cattle farmer. I have a store. I run a business, and this podcast is an outgrowth of that, and it took off like a rocket. And, we did this organically. It's true grassroots, right? I do have some advertisers, but it's almost all native, right? But these guys are paid. They're propped up, and they get their engagement numbers, and all of their all of the stuff, the platforming, and the engagement numbers, and dealing with potential lawsuits and all, it's all handled by their talent management agency. All of it is, and it shouldn't come as a shock. I have my issues with that. I have my issues with that type of business, but because it's not truly organic. It is pushing people into trends. But hey, again, there's nothing new under the sun. Don't hate the player, hate the game. And that's just the way that it's run, right? But you're naive if you think otherwise. I mean, where did these people come from? What did they do? What did they actually contribute? And I'm not throwing salt at any media personality in particular here. But again, a lot of the political podcasts, the social commentary podcasts, so on and so forth, I don't have time for it. I don't have time to listen to it because I'm constantly working. I don't have time to pay attention to, just like I was saying with the gun media, I just don't have time for it because I know what it is. Okay, I see it for what it is. And I'm not faulting those guys. Not at all. Because they've done a lot of positive work for people. And so, cool, man. But I see it for what it is. Just understand that there is a certain degree of management to the chaos. Okay? And these people weren't explicitly pro-Trump either, with the exception of Benny Johnson. But anyhow, the point here that I'm getting to is that now they're being accused of Russia collusion and taking money from Russian media companies and so on and so forth. I just want to close with this. I'll dive deeper into this. There's a lot of big picture stuff that's happening with Elon Musk in Brazil. And, 10,000 foot view, Brazil is a very important player in this in the background. This is quickly becoming a testing ground for what I think they have planned ahead. But, I just want to leave you with this, though. Think about this. When the Russian invasion of Ukraine occurred, they took Russia Today off the air. It left. It was on DirecTV and Dish Network and all this. It left. It was delisted from Google. It was blacklisted by a lot of media sites out there. Had the community guidelines stuff that was posted on it. Constantly, like if you look up Russia Today on Google, you're going to see it. And it's not just Russia Today. It was anything associated with the Russian government. Now, they didn't do this with the Chinese, by the way, because if they had, there would be a giant warning going off behind anything that Tim Walz says, right? But, that's neither here nor there. Maybe another good conversation for another day. My point is, though, is that they're running this lie. They want you to believe, or maybe they don't even care whether you believe it or not, but they're gaslighting you into believing that the Russians have such a high level of influence in American society and into politics in particular, and the influence of public opinion, that they consider it a real threat. And this is 4 years after, well, 3 years after they completely eliminated and mitigated and castigated much of the Russian ability to influence our media in all manners. They're arresting anyone who runs roughshod of that. Pavel Durov with Telegram saying, oh, it's a Russian media company, right? They didn't censor the stuff that was coming out of Ukraine. Of course they didn't censor it. Why would they do that? But I broke that down in previous episodes. But I want to leave you with that. Why they're running this story again, and the reason they're doing it is because that's all they have left. This is quite literally, and it is a lie. If you tell a lie enough times, it becomes truth. Or so it's said. Infamous dictator quoted that. It wasn't wrong, by the way. It's true. They're doing this before your very eyes. They want you to believe this. They truly want you to believe this. And they want the American public to believe it. And they're going to keep going with this lie. They're going to keep running this narrative. And this is going to continue nonstop. And so in November, if we have a free and fair election, important word there is if, this is the lie that they are going to continue. It is not going to stop. I fear for what's ahead. But the way that we mitigate that fear is through training, through preparing ourselves, preparing our bodies, preparing our equipment, getting more squared away tomorrow than we were today. That's how we address potential problems. And so with that said, brushfeeder.store, we've got literally everything that you're going to need over there, all the supplemental stuff, all the enablers, right? Check out brushfeederbeef.com. Freeze-dried USDA grade A beef over there. And I think that this is an incredible product for a lot of reasons. I grin from ear to ear because it's just so genius. Having just freeze-dried beef, a lot of people want protein. A lot of the freeze-dried food brands that are out there, some of the bigger ones that are out there, kind of are lacking in protein. Not what we have on the store, by the way, both from Heaven's Harvest and Peak Refuel. They're very high in protein. But a lot of the other companies out there are real heavy on carbs and salt and preservatives, not so much in the protein department. Hey, this brushbeaterbeef.com is all protein. Because it's all beef. There's no carbs. It's keto friendly. And you can get all of that over there, right? So anyhow, brushbeaterbeef.com. You can check that out. My good friends over there. And get yourself better prepared for an uncertain tomorrow than you were today. Brushbeater.store. Since we did not have a live with Colonel Murray this week, I am going to share that special discount code, OTOF, One Team, One Fight, OTOF, all capital letters. Use that for 5% off brushbeater.store at checkout. Anyhow, getting ready for Signals Intelligence course this weekend. Going to have an absolute packed house here at the Guerrilla Camp, the Resistor Ranch. And really, really looking forward to that. But if you're not in on that class, couldn't get in on that one, hey, the training calendar is up over at brushbeater.store. And I would love to get you in class. With that said, folks, be safe. Keep your head on a swivel. God bless, and I will talk to you again very, very soon. Cincy Scout out.
Reservations are now open at Ocana Resort, where every moment feels like a getaway, where families laugh, friends gather, and memories are made. Welcome to Ocana, Oklahoma City's largest indoor water park and lively outdoor adventure lagoon. From poolside bites to unique swim-up sips and rooms perfect for every stay, Ocana is more than a destination. It's the vibe you've been waiting for. Book now at OconaResort.com to be among the first to stay in spring 2025.